As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
One hit tonight. A dominant pitching performance by Mitchell Parker, closed out by Cole Henry. And for the Orioles, this has been a two-game stretch to hopefully soon forget.
It's kind of a sneaky fastball, a high-release sneaky fastball. We're late on it. And then to the lefties, a lot of breaking balls, tough time staying on. But we didn't work the count on them. We didn't make it very tough on them. Dude, we don't have a ton of experience defensively, and I think some of that shows at times. Also, when guys aren't hitting, especially as young players, sometimes the defense isn't at their best, and that's definitely an area that we need to get better at. We did not play well. You know, it is disappointing. You know, coming off a game, we want to throw away a couple days ago, off day, and to come out and not take very good at bats and not play very good baseball tonight. That was disappointing.
Well, I don't know where you people live. Where I live, tonight's trash night. Take out the trash. Wheel it out by the old mailbox. Recycling goes with it. It's a one-day extravaganza. If you cut your grass, put the trimmings out there in your paper bag because we're eco-friendly in Anne Arundel County. It all goes out at the same time. And you heard Brandon and I talking about that Sunday disaster against Cincinnati, who, by the way, lost two in a row at Miami. So I guess they didn't follow up that momentum, spanking the piss out of the Orioles here. But the Orioles go down to D.C., and I was telling Nolan and Vinny and Jeremy Kahn here, I was on my treadmill, yes, treadmill, before I did 5 rounds on the Everlast, and I did win a split decision. The bag came back late. 2 games in, 2 batters in, it's over. Bye-bye. And you can just feel it. And I'm not, I don't wear mood rings, and I don't have that kind of vibe feel. You can sometimes, but just watching the game, if something's not right, Nolan and Vinny, about what's going on. And the last thing the Orioles needed was for Dean Kramer to come out and give up 2 hits right out of the gate, and both of them extra base hits, by the way, which he gave up a lot of. And then a 2-run jack, and it's just like, really? And then the offense is just the Bugs Bunny cartoon, 1-2-3, you're out. 1-2-3, you're out. And the pitcher last night for the Nats was on point. Doesn't throw hard, but he gets people out because he doesn't get barreled up. A lot of soft contact, as we saw. 1 hit. And we can rag on the pitching, and we have, and we will. Sagano goes tonight trying to save the day, if you will. But Kramer, come on, man. Need a little bit more. And I like Man Bun. He's the last vestige of the Manny Machado trade from 2018. And he's been a reliable contributor to good teams. But in a perfect world, he's your 4th, 5th starter. Now he's up the pecking order because of injuries, which we'll get into. And I don't know how much longer that can be used as an excuse / reason for why they're so bad. Worst starting pitcher earn run average in baseball. But need a little bit more. He did get into the 6th, which is great. 11 hits, six runs, five earned. A lot of extra base hit. A lot of hard contact off the bats of the Nats, Nolan. Dean Kramer, at this stage, you got to be a little more reliable every fifth day as opposed to great your last outing. The others sandwiched in between, not so much.
Right. It's bad when you're sitting over 70 pitches after four innings. And at that point, he had only given up the three runs. But you're sitting there watching saying, all right, it's another grinded out type of outing for Dean Kramer that maybe he'll get through five and two thirds and just those three runs. We got a shot here. I'll take that. And then it quickly unravels. But even then, it hit me watching the game saying, all right, we're down three. Still in this. Wait a minute. What am I saying? We're not in this. You're right. I mean, we're facing a lefty pitcher here. It's over. A one-run deficit is too much to overcome for this team. And it's so sad that you get to a point when you see a lefty pitcher on the schedule coming up, and you're saying our best shot to win this game is if we just foul off a bunch of pitches and get this guy out after five or six innings and take our chances on the bullpen. Hope that we're either tied or not down by too much at that point. I mean, I have zero confidence in this team getting a lead against any left-handed pitcher at this point.
Well, 2 years ago, when the Orioles won 101 games, and through the first half of last year, even the second half of 22, when they got good, there was no insurmountable deficit for them, offensively. Because this is where my main vent's going to go today, as it was on Monday. Since the last three losses, going back to Friday, Saturday, the win, they scored nine runs, hit a bunch of homers. Offensive machine. 39-5. They've been outscored in their last three losses. They're 3-7, I believe it is now, in blowout games, five runs or more, so far in 2025. Somewhere along those lines. They've lost more than they've won. We knew the pitching was going to be questionable with everyone healthy coming out of spring training, or going into, because Grayson didn't make it out of spring training. Where the bleep are the runs? Where is the guy that can carry this team and get hot and be the dude for a series or for a week? Where's that player? It's not Westbrook. Not now. And by the way, I'm not sticking a fork in any of these players. But collectively, you've changed. You got rid of both of your hitting coaches. Where are the runs? Seriously, I mean, Gunner, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I got that. I watched the game. I watched every inning. I got what the problems are with the injuries. But there's still enough talent on the team to succeed offensively. So again, you knew the pitching, starting pitching, was bad, questionable. At best, maybe they're average. But where the hell is the offense? That's the thing that's bugging me. Your shaky defense. We just heard Brandon Hyde say they suck defensively. Base running miscues have been plentiful. They're just a bad team. But the one thing you could count on for the better part of 2.5 years, they can score. These woes arose in the second half of last year, and they have carried over into this season. And we're becoming broken record stuff now with all of this. But this isn't a small sample size of 2025. This is a carryover of the second half of 2024. And as I said yesterday, when they walked off the field, trudged off the Camden Yards field, getting swept by Kansas City, that team was better than the one that's playing in D.C. tonight at 6:45. Where is the offense? That's my number one question with this team. I mean, Gunner, Westberg, Adley, they get hot, Mountie, they can carry you. But all of them sucking at the same time? What do you have? a team that's been outscored 31-2 in their last two games. He got one hit last night.
The biggest thing that bothers me is, you know, I mean, the defense and all the passion. They just don't seem like they want to be there. There's no energy when you're watching them play. You know, that's the thing, you know, and I use it like football analogy, Bob, because when I'm sitting there watching, I'm saying, it looks like these guys don't want to play for Hyde. That's what I was thinking, you know, because, you know, you're coming off the 24-2, and actually watching that game, it was worse. It was almost worse watching because there was no energy whatsoever.
It was an uninspired
performance. Yeah, and I'm like, come on. You guys are 22, 23 years old. It looks like they're having no fun, Bob. That's what it looks like.
Well, yeah, fun.
Yeah.
The only people having fun are the fans of the opposing. The Nats looked like they were the three-time defending world champions last night. But Homer hosing and the fishing rods all. No. You're banned. You're banned from doing that until you go on like a four-game winning streak.
Yeah, the fishing game warden was out last night. No hits, no nothing. No
extra bases. Throw that thing back.
But lost in all this.
You couldn't even eat it.
We didn't mention this, but lost in everything last night is Hyde actually put out a lineup that we've been calling for. Kerstad and Holiday both in there against a lefty, deviating from his matchups fixation. Obviously, we see the results here. One hit. Shout out Cedric Mullins. He's a lefty.
Yeah. So, and he walked twice, too. But right. here are your averages last night after the game. Sed's 290, OPS over 1,000. He's the least of the. He did. What the hell were you throwing? Yeah, the cutoff man and, you know, fundamental baseball flaws. Led to an unearned run, as a matter of fact. Adley, 200, 297 on base percentage. Talked about this yesterday. What the hell happened to this guy? Gunner. 213 batting average, 250 on base percentage. Where's the compete, at least at bat to at bat, making these guys throw pitches? Parker threw 99 into the ninth. Mountie, who I predicted would hit 33 home runs, he has what, one? 229, 260 on base percentage. Ty Sepps, 230, 304 on base percentage, which is George Brett compared to the rest of the team. Kerstad, 245. All right, maybe his elbow hurt. I don't know. Westberg, .187. Maybe he's still hurt from the rough turf of Toronto in the opening series. 240. We're talking. Here's the on-base percentage. Almost cost. Forget the averages.
Yeah.
Here are the on-base percentages. 297, 250, 260, 304, 283, 247, .79. So much for Gary Sanchez wearing out lefties, right? Jackson Holiday, 273. The only thing I'll question about last night's lineup, where was Ramon Laureano? He did hit two home runs the other night, right?
Well, let's not get carried away.
Right-handed bat. I'm not saying he's Frank Robinson, but come on.
Well, we've been calling for play your best guy. We've been calling for Kerstad to be in there, and he's in there against the lefty. I don't know what to say.
Well, the biggest problem with Kerstad
Ramon Arias.
Yeah. That fly ball.
You can't play 12 guys.
The fly ball.
Somebody's got to sit.
Yeah. Nor, what'd you think the fly ball to left field when he took the wrong angle?
Well, I heard some callers in my head.
So, I don't know. It's a flawed team. It's a bad team. They're four games under .500. I mean, this is not the only thing benefits the Orioles is everybody else in the East is kind of meh.
No.
Boston was the only team in the division to win last night. So the Orioles trying to get back in the win column. Mitchell Parker, congratulations to you. You were dealing now 3-1 with a .39 earned run average. Sagano trying to give him a quality. Hey, look, he could go seven innings, give up two runs. The way the offense is going, there's no guarantees the Orioles will score three. Trevor Williams on the hill for the Nats. So if you want to vent about them, and you're more than, you hit your rightful place to do so, get in here at 410-583-1057. Draft tomorrow. Tomorrow. Not next week.
No.
Not 3 weeks from now. Tomorrow is the NFL draft. Ravens have the 27th pick. We got two profiles. Two guys that could be around at 27. Two guys that could feel a need for the Ravens at 27. You want to talk about that? Feel free to do so. You got the NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, Caps back on the ice tonight. Anything else on your mind? Hey, we got the AFC North news from the North coming up 11:30. We're going to Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland a day ahead of the first round. All three of those teams could use some stuff as well. Cleveland really needs some help on their roster. 31-2, and going back to Friday's loss in the opener against the Reds, they've been outscored 39-5 in their last three losses. And the Reds have used that momentum to go out and lose two in a row to Miami. But there you go. By the way, Cleveland hasn't lost since the Orioles took 2 out of 3. Anyway, we're grasping at straws. Let's get out to the phones. I've voiced my displeasure with the state of the Orioles so far in 2025 and all that good stuff. Let's go to Derek in East Baltimore. Derek, what's up?
Morning, Bob. Good morning, Van.
Morning.
Hey, Derek.
So I'm going to make two analogies real quick. One about Brandon Hyde and one about Elias, right? All right, so, and I'll try to do it as quickly as I can. So with Brandon Hyde, right, I know, Bob, that you've been saying that you don't feel like Brandon Hyde, you know, is going to go anywhere, right? And, you know, I love you and I respect you to death, but I got to push back on that big time, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my reason for that is that, number one, this team has been playing like this. We beat it like a dead horse, right? This team has been playing like this for over 100 games, right? Every time Hyde does an post-game interview, he's asked the same questions. What's wrong with your offense? Why can't you guys hit? Why can't you guys field and play defense? Why can't they pitch right? It's been going on for over 100 games, right? Two things come to mind for me, right? Number one is Hyde has no clue how to get this team to hit again. He has no clue how to get this team to field again. He has no clue on how to get this team to pitch again. Because if he did, he would have did it in July of last year, August of last year, September of last year, April of this year. He would have fixed it if he knew how to fix it, right? Number two, and Van, you alluded to it earlier. Whatever him and his coaching staff is teaching, they're not listening. They're not listening. They're constantly doing the same things every single game. The last two games have lost 31-2.
Yep.
This is not a good team, man. Not a good team. Now with Elias, right?
Bad football teams don't lose 31-2.
You scored a safety.
Yeah, yeah.
You scored a safety.
That's because the punter got snapped over his head.
It's pitiful. It's pitiful, Bob. That with Elias, right? I remember that old Godfather movie when Sonny and Tom Hagen was arguing, right? And Sonny had told Tom Hagen, listen, I don't want to make any deals. I just want you to help me win, right? And he also told him, he said, Pop got Chinko, which means Vito. Chinko, which was his old concierge.
Janko.
What I got.
Janko.
Talked about Tom Hagen.
Yeah, Janko.
Janko,
yes.
Right. Which means that, right, which basically what I'm saying is, Chinko was a wartime concierge. He was willing to do whatever it took to win. Tom Hagen was, oh, let's stay status quo. Let's not do this. Let's not do that. That's Elias, right? That's him. He's not willing to do what it takes to win. This team is in win now mode. He has not done it. Has he done Brandon Hyde a disservice this year? Absolutely, he has. He's a big part of the reason why this team is the way that it is. No question about it. But, and Vinny, you know this well. When a new regime takes over, when new ownership come in, 9 times out of 10, they always want to bring in their own people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, sometimes they'll bring the old coaching staff to carry over and stuff like that, give them a chance, right? If this team continues to play like this all season long, it's no way that both of them can come back. No way. No way.
What happened to Derek? Oh, sorry, Derek. Anyway, you mentioned the Godfather references.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Sonny wanted to go after Salazzo. Salazzo's a dead man, blah, 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 blah. And then Tom Hagen said, look, He's a police captain. He is invulnerable. He said, it's not personal, Sonny. It's just business. We have to wait. And then Michael Corleone came out of nowhere and says, we can't wait. Who's the Michael Corleone in that dialogue? Rubenstein is deferred to Elias 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I do not see him as a guy that's going to fire Mike Elias or Brandon Hyde this season. I think they get a mulligan.
Mm.
I don't think they bottom out as poorly as they are right now.
Yeah.
I hope not. That would be a dramatic move and a very impulsive Dan Snyder, Peter Angelos sort of move. Instead of say, if Mike Elias says, Brandon's got to go, we've lost the clubhouse. Buck Britton's sitting right here, who's managed a lot of these guys down on the farm. That's one thing. I don't think Rubenstein makes that call.
I think what Rubenstein would do, Bob, is I think if you start to see Rubenstein talking more and more to Cal Ripken, then I think he's going to be relying more on Cal. Because I've been in that situation, Bob, where I'm the GM and the owner. And, you know, like, hey, I'm going on vacations with Dan Snyder and everything else. And then, boom, you know, you're not hearing from him for a little while. Red flags come up.
Yeah, I don't think we're at that point in time. Fans want it to be that. Keep in mind, the old saying, Abe Lemons? I can't remember who said it. Said, when people who are experts at their chosen field in sports start listening to the fans,
you become a fan.
They become a fan. Sagano coming off a great start in his last outing. 2-1, 3.43 against Trevor Williams, who's 1-2 with a 5.95. Where the Orioles offense is going, something tells me a couple of runs are coming off of his ERA tonight. Draft tomorrow. First round. NFL Draft, Ravens 27th pick in it. We got our first draft profile coming up here in a matter of minutes. What do the Ravens do at 27? We know the needs. Safety, cornerback.
Pass rush, O-line.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
They take a receiver, we're like, what?
Yeah. It'd be, if they took a receiver, Travis Hunter was there.
Yeah, right. For some, or they moved up to number two to make that crazy and traded everything else in their draft class. So we know the needs. We don't know the player yet. 11 picks overall. How many of those picks will get dangled as the festivities all start to get underway tomorrow night in Green Bay? As the draft of 25 is upon us, then it'll be rookie minicamp. Then it'll be mandatory, the OTAs. Then it'll be mandatory, another wave of free agency coming your way. And before you know it, there we go.
Yeah.
And cycle keeps on spinning.
And Bob, I think, you know, after the draft, not undrafted free agents, but veteran free agency, we're going to see probably some O linemen, some D linemen, linebackers possibly added to the team.
All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Ryan. Ryan, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing, bud?
So this is my kind of insight on the Orioles right now. I feel like we're playing like a mixture of the Bad News Bears and Major League all together. You know, you got Willie Mays Hayes hitting pop-ups and getting thrown out on the bases and bad defense and Tanner's throwing his glove. So, on the bright side.
And a lot of lupus out in left field, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, you know, Jorge Mateo is the closest thing to lupus.
Well, hey, old Kerstad's not exactly Carl Strebsky out there either.
No. But the bright side about it, and I'm trying to be as optimistic as I can be, the ending of those movies ended pretty good for those teams. So hopefully they'll be able to string together some good games and give Wild Thing some glasses and get him to pitch strikes.
All right.
And that's Charlie Morton.
All right, Ryan, appreciate that. Yeah, what was it about Major Leagues, Wesley Snipes, Willie Mays Hayes? You may run like Hayes, but you hit like bleep. All right, back to the phones. We'll see. Bad News Bears actually lost in the championship game, if I'm not mistaken, to the Yankees. Then he threw the trophy at the woman and just started guzzling beers. Let's go to Wally in Eastern Shore. Wally, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are we?
All right. Better than the Orioles.
Yeah, you got that right. You know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to rewind time back to 2014 in the offseason. And, you know, we get swept by the Royals. You know, and instead of giving the extra year to Cruz, let him roll. Instead of giving the extra year to Marquez, let him roll. They don't sign Andrew Miller. And obviously we take a dive until 2017. And, you know, you come back to this year, you know, we get swept in the playoffs again by the Royals. And, you know, we let Burns walk over an extra year and some money. We let Santander, 45 home runs coming off the best year of his career, walk over an extra year and some money. You know, the team, and everyone tells me I'm crazy for this, and it doesn't affect them the way I think, but when you see you're not getting the support from upper management, and then you see all these other young players around the league getting extended, and then you see that so far we've done nothing. To me, maybe I'm wrong and they don't care, but you've lost a lot of chemistry in that locker room. Like, Pete, I think a lot of things come from chemistry. I think it's a lot more important than people think. And Santander, Santander, was great in the locker room, along with being that solid thing in the lineup every single day. And they didn't replace his offense. They go out and get Tyler O'Neill. He's got a history of injury. And he's not a switch hitter like Santander was. And to me, that it's just, again, they didn't replace anything. And they weren't aggressive as other teams. And I think they've messed up the chemistry of the team. I think they've lost swagger. And I think some of these players could be thinking, you know, we're not getting the support that we need.
All right, Wally and Eastern Shore, thank you very much. Hey, look, Austin Hayes was beloved in that clubhouse. They traded him. Santander, I still think that they ought to offer him the 60 for 3 years in February of 2024. He would have signed. Sounds to me like that's kind of the offer they went with when he left, because he basically told the media, he said, if they made him an offer, he could refuse, going back to the Godfather. You know what I mean? Oh, he made me an offer, I could refuse. Burns wasn't coming back, and the Orioles offered him a ton of dough. He wanted to go to Arizona. I think we can put that to bed. Now, did they replace him? Absolutely not. Should they have made a run at Max Fried, which the Yankees did, and he has pretty much carried their rotation? Look, the Orioles' rotation is the worst in baseball. Yankees have the second highest earned run average rotation-wise in the American League, and the only reason is it in Orioles levels because of Max Fried, who they paid a ton of dough to. Clark Schmidt got rocked last night as he pitched for them against Cleveland, coming off an injury. But the Santander loss, clubhouse-wise, he was big with the Latino players. James McCann was kind of the leader guy. But at some point in time, however, you can't just keep bringing back old dudes.
Because they're locker room guys.
Because they're a locker room guy. Yeah. Sooner or later, one of your young veterans has to. I mean, Lamar Jackson had instant street cred in the Ravens locker room right out of the gate. Well, one, he was good. But two, they loved him. I mean, the defense doesn't talk about, you know, what the defensive coordinator. They go to Lamar. They bust their ass for him. So somebody that's on the team now, we can't lament who isn't here anymore. Someone's going to have to step up. But what do you mean need a leader? Hey, stop striking out with runners on third and less than two outs. Well, how about you start playing better, and then all of a sudden respect comes that way?
The thing is like, you look at the Ravens, and you got Roquan, you got Lamar, you know, you got Kyle. You got some natural leaders. All right, with the Orioles, Bob, I mean, Gunner, as great as he is, he's a quiet dude, you know. Mullins, quiet guy, you know. Kerstead's learning his way.
You can be lead by example, guys, too.
But you got to have somebody that, you know, is going to. Look at Ray Lewis.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but hey, look, talk to anybody that covered the Ravens. Sooner or later, Ray Lewis, the yelling and screaming, and they was like, dude, shut up.
Yeah, because we couldn't play anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we got this, but. I think when you play better, you feel better, and then all of a sudden there is no leadership gap. It's all about just, hey, it's ELE, everybody love one another. I don't know. They've sucked for over 100 games. I mean, the record speaks for itself. And last night, just an indication of where this team's kind of in an abyss. But we could talk about the pitching, as we have. Where is the offense? Where are the runs? Minus Santander, who's not exactly setting the world on fire in Toronto. Burns hasn't won a game yet in Arizona. But with the players that you have, proven all-stars, none of them are doing anything right now. Tomorrow's the draft, NFL. Will the Ravens draft a future Pro Bowler? First Draft Profile coming up next here on The Fan.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Draft profile number one, day before the first round of the draft. Idiot Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. That's ESPN on the call. Ravens have the 27th pick in the first round. And let's talk about Vinny, a guy that could very well be there at that spot.
Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M, 6'5", 267, ran 4.59. 1.58 10, which is excellent. He's a junior, jersey number 4, 34 and an eighth arm. Got it all. Got those long arms that you want. 9 5/8 hands. 40-inch vertical jump. Jump out of the gym. 10'11" broad jump. Unbelievable. So when he did this at the combine, everybody's like, he's top 5 pick. All right, in 2022. Played in all 12 games, had 6 starts, 23 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks. 23. Played in all 13 games, had 1 start, 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, 2 PBUs, 1 block kick. This past season, third team All-SEC, started 12 games, 31 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, 2 PBUs. So over his career, 4.5 sacks. His strengths, and basically he was a one-year starter. Strengths, great size, speed, arm length, combine results. He can run, he'll chase, speed shows up, quick takeoff, shows power on the bull rush. He can punch, kick out, shed in the run game, strong lower body, uses his arm length in pass rush, keeps working in pass, good on stunts, 39 pressures in 24. Sounds like Owe, doesn't it? Because he doesn't have sacks, you talk about the pressures. Has good bend to flatten. Weakness, production. Will reach and miss some tackles. Plays high. Doesn't bring his legs to tackle. Falls off tackles a lot. Needs more pass rush moves. Doesn't bring breakdown to tackle. I question natural instincts. Not a natural rusher. Rush instincts, I question. 4.5 career sacks. Hand use, underdeveloped. Doesn't finish. Summary. This kid's athletic numbers are off the charts, but it doesn't show up with tape in his production. I'm not so sure he is naturally instinctive to become great. He misses a lot of tackles, doesn't finish. This is a big gamble. Boomer bust pick.
Really?
Yeah.
Mel Kiper Jr., Baltimore Zone, ESPN.com, has him as the number one. He updated his positional rankings yesterday.
Wow.
Number one defensive end on this year's board. Mock draft today, Pete Schrager, now of ESPN.com, has Stewart going 29 to Washington, and our buddy Ryan Wilson as we're going 28 to Detroit. So he's in the ballpark.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And Bob, if he's there at 27, I'd want to see who else. Just because if a guy doesn't have great instincts and natural instincts as a rusher, how's he ever going to become a great rusher? That's my whole thing. I mean, he looks beautiful, you know, but he doesn't play great, and he misses a ton of tackles. Like, he lunges and misses a lot. He's got these long arms where he shouldn't be.
Bob, if he's the only guy there, okay. Otherwise, as they used to say, puff, puff, pass.
Oh, yeah, I'm down with that. Anyway, Schrager has Josh Simmons.
I like him.
At 27, ahead of Stewart. So are you making that same call?
Oh, no doubt about it. Josh, and we'll talk about Josh Simmons tomorrow. But, Bob, he was the left tackle at Ohio State, starter, and he got hurt. But he can play left tackle. He can play guard. He is what the Ravens would need, you know, and then you're taken care of. If Ronnie were to get hurt or Rosengarten got hurt, you're okay.
So you're not feeling Shamar Stewart at 27.
I just hope somebody else is there, Bob. I just, you know, here's what you're adding, Bob. You're adding another guy. All right, Oway was, what, 2, 3, 5 sacks, and then he got the, You know, I'm not feeling it, but Oway had more instincts than this kid. He's just not naturally instinctive.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a guy at 12:45 who could be around as well at 27, who Vinny might like better. By the way, Ryan Wilson has the Ravens taking James Pierce at 27, who we talked about yesterday a little bit.
Who does Mel has Shamar Stewart going where?
I don't have his updated mock draft.
It's got to be high if he's his number one pass rusher.
I'm assuming Mel's latest mock draft is either today or tomorrow. That's for
me
sure.
Me and Mel have discussion on that one.
All right, let's get out to the pool. We got time for a call on 410-583-1057. If you want to join us, Woman Crush Wednesday. If we don't get you, we're coming up on the top. We're coming right out of the gate at 11 o'clock with more phone calls. Whip around 11:15. And there were notes from the north. We're going to Pittsburgh, Cincy, and Cleveland ahead of tomorrow's NFL draft. Let's go to William in Northeast Baltimore. Excuse me. William, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, William.
Yeah, I don't call it much. I listen a lot because you got a lot of good callers that steal my thunder. So I thought I'd call this morning.
We do.
Okay. What I want to talk about is the batting order. I talked to you, Vinny, before last year about the top of the order, and I talked about Mullins leading off and staying there, just stay there. And you remember we talked about Mateo possibly batting second, and Vinny, you said that he don't get on base enough, and I agree
that
with Vinny, you.
That was Bob saying that.
Yeah,
Vinny's just, he goes with the fluff.
Oh, okay. Well, I agree with that.
Right.
But you're
right.
Right now. Last year, the whole second half of the year, you got nothing out of Rutschman. This year, he's going back to his same old ways, getting nothing. Why? Why is he batting second and third? Rutschman should be batting somewhere around sixth or seventh until he get his act together. Now, I remember when he first started out, when he would swing, he wouldn't go down on his second leg. But a lot of times when he take a swing, one of his legs is down on the ground. And I'm wondering, is he hurt or what's going on with that swing to cause him to go from top to bottom like that? Because he's not the same player he was when he first started. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys comment.
Thank you, William, in Northeast Baltimore. We've belabored that point many times, William. I think I was bringing it up last year, mentioned it yesterday and today. This guy has been kind of a underachiever offensively. Now, whether he's hurt or not, he says he hasn't been. People that cover the team on a daily basis have poked and prodded and asked, and anyone they could ask, not even the unnamed source, says that he's been hurt. His feelings might be hurt because of his production is hurting the lineup. But to your point, dropping him, zero problem with that. Hey, Cedric felt the gaffe when he was terrible, which he was for a long stretch of time. He was dropped a ninth in the order, seventh. Now he's back to being the 30-30 level set. Hey, why should Adley Rutschman be above that? He's not getting on base. It's not like he's, remember, there were playoff games 2 years ago where he was the leadoff hitter. If he's not producing, you need to drop him a little bit as well. Because the run production outside of opening day, he's got 7 ribbies on the season, and he had 2 home runs on opening day.
Bob, Wieters or Rutschman?
We're not to that level just yet. Now we're making absolutes. Now we're, this is fan crazy talk. I mean, let's wait before we get to that. But you wanted Rutschman to be better than Wieters. And if he turns out to be Wieters, it ain't bad. Nope. Wieters was an all-star gold glove level guy, but Rutschman was the number one overall pick in the draft. So he needs to get it together. We'll come back. More of your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Then it's the whip around. And then it's notes from the north. What are they going to do at Pittsburgh with their first round pick? Cincinnati could use some help. And Cleveland could really use some help, including a quarterback.